सहनाभवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवतां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायनीम् अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवै वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुत्सुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः। ॐ श्रीगणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्रीसरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। The Bhagavad Gita should be over right now. The 9th chapter is so perfect, so complete. And it seems like Bhagavan has given us everything that can be given, all the knowledge that we need, starting from Arjuna's confusion to talks about the man of wisdom in the 2nd chapter, this attitude of service, the knowledge, how to abide in the knowledge through the path of meditation. All that has been given. And then Bhagavan has also told us his nature as the Supreme Consciousness. And in the 7th verse, the Lord told us that whatever you see, the para and apara prakriti. Apara is this lower world that we see of 5 elements and ashtamurti brit, that is 5 elements, mind, intellect and ego. This is also me. And then the apara, the higher, which supports this entire universe called the para prakriti, is also me. But then he says my true nature is beyond both, para and apara. And it's something that cannot be understood, cannot be described. And then in the 8th chapter, actually the 7th and the 9th are connected. They have very similar ideas. 9th is further expansion on the 7th. But the 8th one, Bhagavan goes, takes a little diversion because Arjuna asks him, what is Adhiyajna, what is Adhideva, what is Karma? You know, these questions, and how one can know you at the time of death and remember you Bhagwan at the time of death. And so Bhagwan Sri Krishna in the 8th chapter takes a little diversion, answers Arjuna's questions, and then tells him about the two paths, what happens after death, the path of the sun and the path of the moon. The path of the moon is where we go and we enjoy heaven or whatever, and then we come back. And the path of the sun is that where we go to higher worlds and then do not come back. Na punaravartate. And such a person then, through further study with Brahmaji, evolves to the highest state. And then in the 9th chapter, which we just finished, and all of you, I think, did an excellent job last week of summarizing it, we saw the Lord's absolute nature as the substratum of the universe, that which is cannot be known by us, and then his relative nature, how the Lord functions in the world, how the world is created, and how we can know this God was very well explained in the 9th chapter, and how we can connect with that, the Supreme Reality, through the steps given in the 9th chapter. So then what is the need for the 10th chapter and then 9 more chapters after that? So there are certain points that were mentioned in the 7th and 9th chapter which Bhagwan feels needs repetition and further explanation. Like in the 7th chapter, there was a beautiful verse, Mattaf parataram nanyat kinchid asti dhananjaya mai sarvam idam proktam sutre mani ganam eva. He says, there is nothing beyond me. This whole universe is in me, is sustained by me, supported by me. How? Just as a necklace, the thread of the necklace supports all the pearls, the thread is not seen, but without the thread, the necklace would fall apart, the beautiful pearl. So similarly, this whole universe is sustained by me, unmanifest. You don't see me, but it is because of me, because of God, that this whole universe is sustained and maintained. And then in the 7th chapter also, Bhagwan said, Rasoham apsu Kaunteya, Prabhasmi Shashi Surya Yoho, Pranava Sarva Vedeshu. So I am the taste in the water, I am the light in the sun and the moon, I am the Om in the Vedas. And then in the 9th chapter we saw last week, he said, Pitaham Asya Jagataha Mata Dhata Pitamahaha Vedyam Pavintra Omkaraha Riksama Yajurevasa. So I am the father, I am the mother, I am the support of this universe, everything. So these points need more explanation and repetition, because we listen and in the class it's very clear. Yes, I see God everywhere. But the moment we go out, and something happens, or somebody says something, or somebody doesn't agree with us, immediately our mind gets disturbed, and then we forget to see God everywhere. And then we start seeing individuals, I like this person, I don't like this person, all those problems come. So that's why repetition again and again makes this knowledge firm. And it creates a groove of understanding, a deep groove, which is what is the purpose of the Bhagavad Gita. And then another idea that Gurudev gave in his introduction, he said that there is the Brahman, the total consciousness, and then there is Ishvara. We have talked about this before. Ishvara is the sustainer, the creator, sustainer, and destroyer of this universe. What we call God, G-O-D, generator, organizer, and destroyer. And destroyer is not a destruction, but it is creative destruction, where the old is removed so that the new may come. So how does this happen? So they say it is like the Brahman, the total consciousness, functioning through Maya, through the creative power, the Shakti, Right now we are celebrating the 9 days of the Mother Goddess as Shakti. So through that Shakti, through that power, the total consciousness Brahman becomes Ishvara, and then the whole world is created and sustained and maintained. The example Gurudev is, or other people also give, is that there is an ordinary voter like you and I. We go and vote. Now elections are coming up and we will be voting November 3rd. But then after we vote, they total up all the votes and all the electoral college and everything. And then one person who gets the highest becomes the president. So you and I are resident. That person becomes the president. Now that person has the power of all of us. All of us put together give power to that president. And then for 4 years, this person is responsible for running the country. Similarly, you and I, the consciousness functioning through the individual mind and intellect becomes the jiva, the individuality. And then I get a name, Anil or Sudha or Sharad, I'm a male or a female, all those things. So that is the individual mind. And when the consciousness functions through the total mind means all our minds put together, all the 7 billion humans, plus all the animals, birds, plants, insects. They say there are so many insects, more than all other beings put together. So when all that total mind is put together, and when the consciousness functions through that, becomes Ishvara, becomes the creator. So just as the resident and the president, so you and I are the individual jiva and Ishvara is the totality. So that is what we have studied so far, but Bhagavan Krishna feels that this teaching needs to continue. And why? We'll see that in the next verse. Why does Bhagavan feel that this Bhagavad Gita needs to continue and this teaching needs to continue? So we'll do chapter 10. Madhu, can please unmute and chant after me. Atha dashamo dhyayah. You're muted. We can't hear you. Oh, sorry. My mic is turned off. Were you all able to hear me? Yes. Okay, then it was my net. We had turned it off last night. Okay. Atha dashamo dhyayah.
Atha dashamo dhyayah.
Shri Bhagavan uvacha.
Shri Bhagavan uvacha.
Bhuya eva mahabaho. Shrunu me paramam vachah.
Shrunu me paramam vachah.
Yatteham priyamanaya.
Yatteham priyamanaya.
Vakshyami hitakamyaya.
Vakshyami hitakamyaya.
You can please mute and we'll all chant together. Atha dashamo dhyayah. Shri Bhagavan uvacha. Bhuya eva mahabaho. Shrunu me paramam vachah. Yatteham priyamanaya. Vakshyami hita kamyaya. So the 10th chapter is called Vibhuti Yoga. Vibhuti Yoga means the Lord is telling us all his vibhutis, all his manifestations, how Bhagavan manifests in this universe. The 10th chapter tells us how God is in all. So how that one consciousness is in everything, not only in us, but in all of creation. How there is all in one. How one is in all, that is in the 10th chapter. And in the 11th chapter is how all this is in one. So how one is in all is in the 10th chapter, how Bhagwan is in everywhere. And in the 11th chapter, we see how all of us are in God. So that these two chapters show us a beautiful connection between us and God. So Dashamodhyaya, so the 10th chapter started with, usually Arjuna has some question or some doubt or some disagreement, but here Bhagwan starts on his own. And why? We'll study that. He says, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, the Bhagwan, the Lord spoke. What did he say? Bhuya eva Mahabaho, O great warrior Arjuna. Bhuya eva, again, shrunu me paramam vachaha. Please listen to me, to my paramam vachaha, my supreme words. Why? Why am I telling them to you? What is the reason? So he says, yat te, this teachings to you, aham, why do I explain, tell them to you? Because you are priyamanaya, you love to listen to my teachings, you enjoy them. I can see the joy, I can see the calmness, I can see the enthusiasm in your face. And I shall say it, vakshyami, why? Hita kamyaya, for your benefit, for your supreme absolute benefit. So he addresses Arjuna as Mahabaho. We have talked about that before, because Arjuna was a great warrior and had fought a lot of battles outside. But Bhagwan says, now your battle is within your own mind. You have to fight against your own mind. Not fight, but overcome your delusion, your ignorance. So this war is now within. And ultimately, we all have to fight that war, because it is our mind that sidetracks us, takes us away from our goal. So we have to constantly keep it in check. So that's why Mahabaho. Baho. Then he says, listen. Why does he say that? See, there is a saying in Sanskrit, na prishta kasyachit bruhyat. One who does not ask, this teaching should not be given. You shouldn't go around and catch somebody and say, you know, listen, I want you to hear about the Bhagavad Gita. Unless the person is interested, this teaching should not be given. In fact, there is a funny incident. I've mentioned it before in the class earlier. Guruji Swami Tejomayanandaji was, that time he was not Acharya or Swami, he was just a student at Sandipani. But the students wear yellow, they don't wear orange. And in those days, you know, they didn't have that many cars or anything like that. Even now, they don't have cars for all the brahmacharis, you know, they have to take public transport. So Guruji was going to give a talk somewhere else, and he was taking the, you know, the Bombay train. And those of you who have ridden the Bombay sub, you know, train, the local trains, they are so jam-packed, it's so hot, and it is so sweaty and dust, and it's very hard, and you are barely hanging on, there are not enough seats. And so he was hanging on with great difficulty. Train moves very fast, you know, it is very, 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 how shall I say, it's very efficient. And so he was hanging on, and there was this guy next to him. He saw him in yellow clothes. So he thought that, of course, this is a Swami. So he says, Swamiji. So Guruji says, that time, of course, he was not Guruji. He was, what was his name? But he was some Chaitanya. I forget now. I'll get it in a moment. So he says, Swamiji, ek baat batao. You know, tell me one thing. So he says, what? Guruji says, what? He says, ye Bhagavad Gita mein kya likha hai? You know, he's riding on the train and he's asking him what is written in Bhagavad Gita. And not that the guy has any interest. He just wants to pass the time. He said, till agla station, till the next station comes, let me, you know, ask. So this is not the way you have to approach a teacher. You know, you have to have, we'll talk about how the teacher should be approached. So here, Bhagavan Sri Krishna sees the enthusiasm in Arjuna's face. There is a calm, there is a glow of wisdom, and his earlier ignorance has been reduced. Obviously, listening to 9 chapters from Bhagavan Sri Krishna, can you imagine how blessed he was? What a wonderful experience it must have been for him. So he could see this inspiration and this peace within him. And so Bhagavan Sri Krishna felt the need to continue because he felt that some of the points in the earlier 7th and 9th chapters need to be expanded. And they say that how should we approach a teacher? We saw one, how he approached the teacher in the local train. But it says that when we go to a teacher, we should first of all have a sincere desire to know. So when I'm sitting for this study, my goal should be that I want to know this knowledge. I should be sincere. Then I should have humility. Not that I already know it. What is this guy going to teach me? Or I don't need to read. I can study on my own. No, I approach the teacher with humility. Then a surrender. That, oh teacher, my mind is open. You please write on it. So that is how when we listen to these Mahatmas or these Swamis or teachers, that should be my attitude, that I am ready to accept. Of course, we have to select and make sure that whom we go knows what he or she is talking about. But once we have found a guru or a teacher, then one should have total surrender and humility and a commitment that I will follow what I have studied. Then only the teaching is beneficial. If you don't have these four factors, a desire to know, humility, surrender, and commitment. And Arjuna's face was like, I cannot be have enough. You know, people say, bahut sun liya. I have heard enough. Now I don't need to hear anymore. Swamiji says, keep on listening. How long do you do Shravan? Till you attain enlightenment. If you have attained enlightenment, then there is no need for you to listen. Until then, keep on listening. Listening. Listening means reading, you know, listening on the internet, whatever. But keep on studying till you get this state of enlightenment. And after that, you become a teacher then. Then again, you know, you are still soaking yourself in this knowledge. And also, one should show interest. You know, if in the middle of the class, students are looking here and there, looking at their clock, watch, kab class khatam hogi. Or if the teacher, one more class I have to teach. Why do I have to go every week to teach these guys? And so then the teacher is not interested, doesn't prepare, doesn't take interest, or the students. Then either way, it doesn't work. So the teacher inspires the students. And the students inspire the teacher. So it is a communion. It is a samvada. It is not a one way, but it is a two way communication. So that is why he says, Priyamanaya and Vakshyami Hitakamyaya, for your supreme good, absolute good. See, one good is that, you know, we have these four Purusharthas, Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. So mostly when we want anything in the world, we want three things. We want Dharma, we want to do our duty. We want Artha, we want money. And we want Kama, we want sense pleasures. There are very few who want the fourth one, and that is Moksha. That is liberation from this cycle of birth and death, which are very, very few. They say 99.999% of people in the world want the first three. There is very few who want more. And those are the jnanis. Those are the people who want knowledge. But then higher than that, we just heard from Guruji on Manas Bhakti Sutra, are the pure bhaktas. Now, bhakta does not mean one who for 5 minutes does aarti and say, okay, ho gaya, now I'll see you tomorrow morning, Bhagwan. No. One who dedicates his life to God and to service, such a person says, I don't want any of those four. I don't even want moksha. I don't even want liberation. I'm ready to take as many births as required. So Bharatji tells Bhagwan Sri Ram, he was a great devotee. He says, Janam janam rati Ram paga tehi pahu vishram. He says, every life, I don't care how many lives I have. I don't care how many times I come on the earth. Remember, we talked about that we want liberation. He says, no, I don't want liberation. I keep coming. I don't mind. As long as janama janama paga ramarati. As long as every life, I don't forget the lotus feet of the Lord and my mind stays on the lotus feet of the Lord. tehi pahu vishram. That is where I will find rest. So for a bhakta, even the moksha he doesn't want, or she doesn't want even liberation. They say in Ganga Stotram, we are chanting as a part of Lalita Sahasranama. And there Shankaracharya ji says, "Oh Mother Ganga, I don't mind taking as many births as long as I stay with you. Make me a fish, let me swim in you. Make me a stone, let me stay on your banks. But as long as your water is covering me, I don't mind. I don't want liberation. I don't want separation from you." So that is a true bhakta who says, wherever God places me, whatever time, how many ever times I get birth, doesn't matter, because my goal is, as long as my mind is with God, it doesn't matter. So this is the supreme bhakti, which Bharat ji demonstrated for 14 years. He hardly ate or drank. He slept on the floor and did Ramchandra ji's work. Lakshman ji, 14 years, he guarded their kutiya outside so that no animals or demons should trouble them. He also didn't sleep for 14 years. So that is called bhakti, and that is true devotion. And that's what we see in all these great devotees. We just heard from Guruji, Manas Bhakti Sutra, most wonderful talks. If you haven't heard them, go to YouTube and Chinmaya channel and you will find them. So what these teachings teach us, they change our vision. See, our vision is we see the world. So the world remains the same, but I see God everywhere instead of seeing the world. So it's a shift of vision. It's not that our world has to change. Bhagavan Sri Krishna didn't change Arjuna's world. He still had the battle. He still had the Kauravas, Bhishma, Drona, everything was there. He changed his vision. Changing vision reminds me of a story. So this couple and their 10-year-old son, they moved from Saudi Arabia to the States. And so the first day the boy goes to school in August when the school starts. And so the teacher asks him, "What is your name?" And he says, "My name is Muhammad." So she says, "No, you are not Muhammad. You are in America. Your name is Johnny. From today, we'll call you Johnny." So he says, "Okay." So he goes home. So mother asks him, "How was school, Muhammad?" And he says, "My name is not Muhammad. My name is Johnny." So she gets mad and gives him one slap, and his cheek is red. So father comes home, and father says, "So Muhammad, how was your first day of school?" He says, "My name is not Muhammad, I'm Johnny." Father was left-handed. He gives him another hard slap on the cheek, so both his cheeks are red. And poor guy goes to sleep. He gets up in the morning, goes to school, and his cheeks are still red. And teacher asks him, "What happened to you, Johnny?" He said, "The first day I became an American, I was attacked by two Saudi Arabian terrorists." So the person remains the same, but the moment he changes his name, his whole vision changes. So I know this is a questionable joke, but it's fun. So that's why I thought I'll tell it. So you don't have to change the world, you change your vision. Instead of seeing the variety, you see God everywhere. So that is the essence of this 10th chapter. That's why it is called Vibhuti Yoga, where you see God's vibhutis everywhere. You don't see the variety, you don't see the name and form. In the name and form, you see that oneness. That is the essence of this 10th chapter, and that's what Bhagwan tells in the first verse, that listen to my words. And why am I telling? Because you are a good student, you are interested, and I'm telling for your absolute good. Not only for your worldly good, but for your absolute good, so you may know the highest truth. Verse number 2, Madhu can please unmute.
Name vidu suraganaha.
Name vidu suraganaha.
Prabhavam namaharshayaha.
Prabhavam namaharshayaha.
Aham adirhi devanam.
Aham adirhi देवाना
महर्षीणां च सर्वशः
महर्षीणां च सवर्षः.
ओके, वी कैन म्यूट ऑल चैंट टुगेदर.
नमे विदुसुरगणाः प्रभवं नमः महर्षयः अहम् आदिर्हि देवानां महर्षीणां च सर्वशः.
सो न मे विदु सुरगणाः प्रभवं न महर्षयः. सो मे प्रभवं, सो मे इन् द फर्स्ट् पार्ट् एण्ड् म प्रभवं. प्रभवं मीन्स् द ओरिजन्, माय ओरिजन्. भगवान् सेस् न विदु, हु डोण्ट् नो. Vidu means don't know. Na Vidu. Suraganaha, all the devas in God, even all the devas, whether it's Indra or Vayu Devta or Varuna, the god of thunder, lightning, rain, god of sun, moon, ocean, none of them know my origin, my beginning. And even the, he says, okay, the gods don't know. How about the great rishis? You know, they were realized enlightened masters, whether it's Bhrigu or Vasishta or Valmiki or all these great rishis, do they know your origin because they are enlightened, they are supposed to be one with you? He says, no, even they do not know my origin. Why? Aham Adihi, I am, he means indeed, I am the Adi beginning of devas, of all the gods in heaven, and maharshis, all the rishis. Sarvasha, I am the complete creator of both of them. So I am the origin. So why does he use these two examples? Because they are the highest that we can think of. See, whom would you want to approach to know about God? You approach the teacher, right? Enlightened master, like Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda. Or you approach the gods. You know, maybe the gods in heaven know. But Bhagavan says, none of them know. If you want to know, you come to me. I alone can tell what is my origin. So the rishis represent knowledge. So represent the mind and intellect, because they represent the highest of the understanding. And the devas not only represent the god, but devas in Sanskrit also mean the sense organs which illumine. So the eyes can see, the ears can hear, the nose can smell, and skin and tongue. So they illumine the sense objects, means they get to know the sense objects. So what they are saying is neither your mind or intellect can think about God, nor can you see, hear, smell, taste, and touch God. So he says, if we can't think about God, then why are we sitting and listening? And why are we even on the path? And we'll talk about that. But the point is that through my senses or through my mind and intellect, I cannot know God. But he says, then what? They say, use your mind and intellect to know this knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita, and then realize that God is beyond knowledge, beyond mind and intellect. So you have to drop the mind and intellect to go higher, just as you use the first, the staircase to go from the first floor to the second floor. But then you have to give up the staircase, then only you can go to second floor. If you keep holding on to the staircase, oh, the staircase brought me, then you'll never go to the second floor. So you have to give up the staircase. Similarly, you have to go beyond the intellect. And we'll talk about what does that mean. Because this knowledge is subjective. It is not of an object. See, anything in the world, we know it is as an object. If I see this glass, it's an object. This book is an object. The TV, the computer is an object. These ideas that we are sharing are all objects, right? You are listening to these ideas, absorbing them, and so on. But Bhagwan is not an object. You cannot say, oh, if there is God, show me in a test tube. Can you show me God? You can't, because God cannot be objectified. God is the subject. He is the knower. He is the knower of the mind. He's the knower of the intellect. He's the knower of the senses. He or she or that consciousness. So the example Gurudev gives is a telescope, that with the telescope I can see all the stars, the planets, you know, everything. But with the telescope, can I see myself? No. The telescope cannot see the seer, the subject. So similarly, this mind, intellect, and the sense organs are like that telescope with which the consciousness looks outward and you see everything. But they say if you want to know that consciousness, you have to go inward in meditation. That's why in the Thousand Names of Mother, we just covered that. It says that if you are looking outward, it is very hard to find her. But if you want to find the Mother Goddess, go within. Going within, you can know. So Bhagavan says, I am the subject, I am not the object. So the subject is the one that through, it is because of me that all your instruments are functioning. So pay attention to who is that is behind all this. That's why the Gayatri Mantra also says, Bhur Bhuva Swaha Tatsa Vitur Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Diyo Yo Nav Prachodayat. He says, beyond the body, mind and intellect, there is this consciousness which is illumining all the sense organs. Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi. May that consciousness illumine my intellect so I may know you, God. And that is the essence of the Upanishads. The Upanishads also say that this consciousness is within you and is within all. It is within and without. But to know God, you have to go inward. That's why the path of meditation is recommended. And the other thing they say, it is like the cause and effect. Like if you ask a pot, you know, that is made out of mud, oh, Mr. Pot, do you know the origin of mud? He said, how will I know the origin of mud? Mud was already there and then I came, you know, pot came out of mud. Pot doesn't know where the mud originated because mud is my origin. Mud through, you know, sort of like the waves. You ask them, oh, waves, do you know where the ocean started? They say, oh, no, we don't know. I'm only here for a short while. The ocean is my cause. So the effect cannot know the cause. Like for parents, you know, a child cannot know the parent's origin, right? Like the parents say, you don't understand, you know, what we went through. We came to US with $8 in our pocket and we had such a hard time finding a job and then we had to stay in a studio apartment and work so hard. Child cannot comprehend $8. How can you? But the child cannot understand what the parents have gone through. So similarly, for the rishis and the devas and for all of us to understand the origin of God is impossible. And children always ask, if God created the world, who created God? And that will do in the next verse. So it is said that this knowledge is apaurusheya, means through my own thinking, I cannot know this knowledge. Just I say, oh, I'll pick up a book and read and I'll get it. No. First of all, the book has to be written by a guru, by a teacher. But still, there are a lot of doubts and questions come. So a teacher always is helpful. And if you ask the teacher, where did you get this knowledge? He says, from my teacher. And where did you get? He got from his teacher. It goes on and on. Where? All the way up to the Lord. And that's why we do the prayer, Yada Shiva Samarambham Shankaracharya Madhyamam Asmadacharya Paryantam Vande Guru Paramparam. Oh, I bow down to the Guru Shishya Parampara. Where did it start? From Lord Shiva. Or some, they say, Lord Vishnu. So it is from God and from Lord Shiva it came to Shankaracharya Ji, who was a manifestation of Lord Shiva. And through Shankaracharya Ji, it came down to our Guru, which is Swami Chinmayananda. And now we are getting this knowledge. So that's why we need a Guru Shishya Parampara to understand this knowledge. And he says, I am the Sarvashaha. I am the complete origin of the Devas, the Rishis and this entire world. When he says Sarvashaha, which he means in all ways, what Bhagavan means is I am the efficient cause and the material cause. So in Vedanta, they say there are three factors required for creation. Efficient cause, instrumental cause, and material cause. So the efficient cause, like when we make a pot, when there is a pot maker who makes a pot, so the pot maker is the efficient cause. He has the knowledge. Then the wheel on which the pot is made is the instrumental cause, and the mud is the material cause. So taking mud, he spins it on the wheel and makes a pot. And then he decorates it. So the pot maker. So Bhagavan says, in case of this world, I am all three. I am the efficient cause. It is because of me the world came in. I am the one that has created. And I am the material cause also. Just as mud is the material cause of the pot, I am the material cause. So I have myself become this whole universe. At the same time, I am beyond it. See, that's the interesting. That's why in the ninth chapter, we spend a lot of time talking about they are in me, I am not in them. So that understanding one has to get, that God is not only everything in this universe. So whatever, first our idea is God is somewhere up there, above the heaven, above the clouds. We tell our children, you know, God is up there in heaven, in Vaikuntha or Kailash or wherever. And then we come down to God is in everything. And that is the second step, that I see God in everything. That is the 10th chapter. But the highest understanding is I am that divinity. I means there are two I's. You know, we study that. One is this relative I, which we call as Anil or Lata or Madhu. And this relative I has appeared on this earth and is functioning, you know, doing whatever it. But then there is the higher I, you can call, or the absolute I. This temporary I, which I have this name and form, will perish. You know, I'll live for another, 10, 20, whatever years, and then will be gone. But that absolute I, which is my true nature, will ever be there. So the understanding of the Upanishads is, you are that. You are Tattvamasi. That's why the teacher says, oh, Jiva, you are not only this limited Jiva, but each and every one of you have that divinity and you are a manifestation of God. So you and God are not separate. That's why the student says, Aham Brahmasmi. That means me and Brahman are one, because Brahman is everything. When Brahman is everything, how can I be separate from God? So that understanding that God and I are one. Because why? Because God is everywhere. Not that I am God or I am the powerful creator, but that one God has become everything, including that little flower, the petal on the tree, the little insect crawling. Everything is that, the grass and me. And so that respect for all creation. So that's why he says, I am the Sarvashaha, I am the totality. Whatever you see, I am. And but in two ways. One is this insentient, which is the eightfold Prakriti, and other one is the sentient, which is the life principle, the consciousness. So I am the Sat and Asat, the manifest and the unmanifest, Chara and Achara, the moving and immoving, all I am, and everything is me. And so that understanding is highest. But then one has to go beyond the world. Don't only be stuck on the world. That which is beyond this whole universe, which is the cause, which at this moment I am not able to see, which is not evident. Because what does Bhagavan teach us? He's not going to come and tell us fire is hot. I already know that. I put my hand, I'll burn in the fire. What Bhagavan is telling us, that which is not evident, which is not visible to us, and that is the essence of the Bhagavad Gita and the Upanishads, that beyond this universe, there is a substratum. Because they compare this to the rope and the snake. This universe is like the snake, but in the darkness, I don't see the rope as a rope and I project a snake upon it. So similarly, this consciousness is hidden from us by Maya, And on that consciousness, we project this world out of ignorance. That's why we see all the variety of name and form. But a Mahatma sees oneness. So that is the difference. So that's why Bhagavan says, I am the origin of everything, all that is known and all that is unknown, all that has appeared, all that is here and all that will appear, everything is me. And that again Lord Sri Krishna shows us in the 11th chapter to Arjuna. So let us go to the third verse.
Yo mam ajamanadincha.
Majmanadincha
Veti Loka Maheshwaram
Veti Loka Maheshwaram
Asammuna Samartyeshu
Asammuna Samartyeshu
Sarva Papai Pramuchyate
Sarva Papai Pramuchyate.
You can mute, please.
Yo mam ajamanadincha veti loka maheshwaram asammuda samartyeshu sarva papai pramuchyate.
So yo yaha mam ajaman ajam anadin, who knows me as ajam, unborn, and anadin, beginningless, anadim cha, one who knows me as both, and sees me, veti, as what? As loka maheshwaram. Loka means this world. Maheshwaram means the lord of this world, who sees me as both, as unborn, beginningless, and the lord of the universe, all three. What happens to such a person? He becomes asammudaha. Mudaha means one who is deluded, one who is foolish, one who doesn't understand. And sammudha means one who is completely deluded. Asammudha means one who is not deluded, a wise person who does not have the delusion. Like you and I, we still have this delusion of where God is, we don't know. But a wise person knows that. So such a person, Bhagavan calls him asammudha. And what happens to such a person? Saha Martyeshu. Martyeshu means in this world of mortals, sarva papai pramuchyate. From all sins, muchyate means free, pramuchyate means prakarshena muchyate, completely free from all sins. So let us see what is the meaning of yaha. Yaha means one who is a student. Now, what is the requirement of a student? There are many. We have this sadhan chatushtaya we have talked about. But three main requirements are, they should be free of raga and dvesha. I should be free of likes and dislikes. The moment I have likes and dislikes, if I like something, then I dislike something else. Does not mean that one should not, you know, like a particular food. But if you have excessive desire for something, then everything else becomes secondary. Then I like somebody, I don't like somebody. The idea should be everybody is God. I like all. Yes, my child or my, you know, somebody who is close to me obviously will be different from. But the idea that even my child and the neighbor's child are all God's children, that is called free of likes and dislikes. And the other one is vairagya. Detachment is very, very important. That's why Gurudev said, then in simple one line, what is spirituality? Detach from the lower and attach to the higher. Detach from this world and attach to Bhagavan. And what do we mean by ajam and anadim? Unborn and beginningless. So people always ask, you know, children especially in Bal Vihar, if God created the world, who created God? I'm sure every Bal Vihar teacher has been asked that, or even parents get asked by the children. So we have to answer. Suppose you say, okay, this God was created by another God. Okay, then the other God, who created that God? And then who created that God? On and on and on. It will go ad infinitum. So So they say that you have to end in that there is an uncaused cause. There is this God which has no cause. There is no. You have to end up in a God that was uncaused, because ultimately you have to come to that, that there is this entity which was anadim, which was beginningless and which was causeless, had no, which was self-existent, swayambhu, that is why it is called self-existing, and that was the origin. So the universe originated from God who is beginningless and who does not have a beginning and is not, does not have birth, because anything that has birth will have death. And we know that, you know, we are all took birth and we eventually will have death. Our parents, grandparents were here and they were very fine and healthy. And then one day they are gone. Trees, rocks, I mean, everything, you know, the whole universe will end. Even when Lord himself came as Bhagavan Sri Ram or Sri Krishna in this human body, they came for a limited amount of time. It is said Sri Krishna lived for 120 plus years. But then that once his work was done, he dropped the body. And that's what happened to Sri Ram also. So the point is that anything that is created will end. Only thing that will be endless is if it is beginningless. If it has a beginning, it will have an end. So people say, oh, you know, my parents are gone, I'm sad. Yeah, you are sad for a while, but you have to understand that whatever is created is bound to go. And same thing will happen to us. So a level of vairagya, detachment, that yes, even things in this world, today I have, tomorrow I won't. People who love me today may not love me tomorrow. So that clarity should come. And then he says, Veti Loka Maheshwaram. He knows me as the Lord of this Loka Maheshwaram, this Lord. Loka, Gurudev says, is not only the physical world that we see, all the planets, stars, mountains, but it is also the world of emotions. That's why they say there is the physical world and there is an emotional world of emotions, ideas, poetry, songs, and then there's an intellectual world of concepts. You know, so the physical, the emotional and the intellectual world, that means intellectual means all the internet and the books and everything. So that is called loka. And that's why they also each one creates his own loka. Like if I'm a physicist, I will associate with other physicists. So I'll have a world of physics. Or a doctor will associate with doctors. A lawyer will associate with lawyers, accountant will create an accountant's world. But in that accountant's world, when in the weekend he goes to play tennis or golf, then he will interact with other tennis players or other golfers. So there will be a tennis player's world or a golfer. But each one of us creates our own world, and that includes our family, our profession, and so on. But then there is the total world that is created by the total mind. We talked about that in the beginning. So Bhagavan says, I am the Lord. Lord does not mean he's an authoritative person sitting there to punish us. What it means is that everything is happening under my control, under my command. But at the same time, he has given us freedom to choose our life, to choose our parents, to choose our spouse, our children. Everything is that's why they say we are the architect. God is the general contractor. Based on my karmas, based on my vasanas, I have chosen this particular life. And whatever is happening to me is my own choice, is a choice of my own karmas. Either it could be in this life or another life. So to blame somebody else that because of this person my life is miserable is erroneous. It is because of me my life is happy or unhappy. I chose. So the Lord does not determine what kind of life I have. I have determined based on my karmas and my actions. And then Lord is not only the Lord, Bhagwan, but he pervades everything. We have talked about everything, the material cause, the efficient cause, everything is pervaded by that one consciousness. Everything is divine. So once we see divinity in all, then it changes our vision. And then it says such a person knows everything. That is true, because then you know the essence of everything. Just as once you have known H2O, then you say, I have known all the waters everywhere, whether it's in a lake or it's in the rain or it's in the ocean. They are all H2O, whether it's a bottle, whether it's a tap. Once I have known H2O, once I have known, you know, carbon molecules, then I know carbon everywhere, whether it's in a coal, whether it's in a diamond. Once you have known the essence, then you have known all of it. Once you have known mud, then you have known all the parts in the universe. Once you have known gold, you say, I have known all the ornaments in the universe. So similarly, once this person knows me, he knows everything, and he becomes the wise among the mortals, because you and I are mortals, and the person becomes wise, and then he gets free from all sins. How does he get free from all sins? What are sins? Gurudev has described, sin is where I do anything which is against my divine nature. I am divine, I have the divinity in me, and it is because of divinity that I am able to function. So essentially we are all divine, we all have God within us. But when I go away from that and get fascinated by doing things based on my vasanas, on my selfish desires, when I don't see oneness, when I have likes and dislikes, I have love and hate and all those, and when I lie, cheat, whatever I do which is against my divine nature, then that is a sin. And Gurudev says, you are punished by your sins, not for your sins. So what does he mean by that? For my sin means if I do something wrong, then the police catches me and say I'm speeding, they give me a ticket. So that is called, then I have to pay. So that is called, I pay for my sin of speeding or whatever else I have done. I get taken before a judge, maybe I didn't pay taxes or whatever, and then that is called being punished for the sins. But Bhagavan says you are punished by your sin means the sin itself is an action you have committed which in the future will produce a result. So the result of the sin, or it could be a good action too. So the good action or the bad actions will result in their own results. So each karma will produce its result. And that is what is that we are experiencing right now, is a result of my karmas. And that is the essence of that once you have understood that you are divine, and once you have become one with that divinity, then such a person then gets free of all sins, because then he no longer is part of that. He says, whatever this individual sins have been committed by this person, he goes beyond, as we saw in the case of Valmiki, you know, who in Ratnakar had committed so many murders, but once he became Valmiki, the individuality was dead and a new saint was born. So similarly, one who has understood his divine nature, first of all, then he won't commit any sins. Once I have seen the divinity in me, then I become a source of love and compassion and sharing with all. And secondly, he has gone beyond pap and punya, because pap and punya belong to the ego, to the individual I. But one who has gone beyond this individual I has become one with that Om, one with that Brahman. In the BMI chart, you see BMI, PFT, OET, all most of you are familiar. But above that is Om, the consciousness. So one who has understood I am consciousness, then no longer the world can affect such a person. Even this person, as we see in the lives of these saints, no matter what the world did to them, they were beyond that. And so that is the essence of this teaching, that one who has studied this knows me as that and has become one with me, has recognized the divinity, that alone is true wisdom. Everything else you may know on this world, you may have a double PhD, you may be professor of, you know, quantum physics in the best university, you may be even a Nobel Prize laureate or a president or prime minister or whatever, But if you have not acquired this knowledge, then Bhagavan says you are a mudaha, you are a deluded person. And so this knowledge is to take us from ignorance to bliss. That's why we say, na asato ma sat gamaya, tamaso ma jyotir gamaya, mrityor ma amritam gamaya. From untruth, take me to the truth. From death, take me to immortality. And from darkness, take me to ignorance. Immortality does not mean I live forever. Immortality means I understand I am divine. Essentially, I am divine. This Om, this true I will never perish. But this body will perish. So that understanding. So that's what Bhagavan says, that if you want to learn about me, you have to come and ask me. And the whole, the 14th chapter will tell us about God's vibhutis, all his various manifestations and the beauty of the Lord's creation. We will see that in the next verses. And then he will also talk about the manifest and the unmanifest. That means what is unmanifest? Like the mind and intellect is unmanifest. Joy, compassion, kindness. And then what is manifest? This body, these trees and all. So everything is me. So that's what we'll do next week. We have a few minutes. If there's any questions, any comments. Okay, one question I think Carrie asked, so I'll answer that. She said we are celebrating Navratri, which is Mother Durga, Saraswati and Lakshmi. So it is said that she is the origin of this universe. You know, the mother goddess, she is the origin. How? First of all, in the form of mother, as we know, the mother is the creator, origin of this whole universe. All of us came from mother. That's the mother, number one. There are three aspects. The other one is that this Mother Durga is not only the visible form that is riding on the tiger and all, but she is that supreme consciousness, Brahman. And that supreme consciousness, that's why in Lalita Sahasranama they have name like Nirvikaraha, Nirguna and all that. That means she is the eternal consciousness, which is without form, without change, without appearance, nirakara, who has taken this akara of Mother Durga or Mother Saraswati or Mother Lakshmi. So the whole universe came from that consciousness, right? We all came from that one consciousness. So if we say she is of the nature of the Supreme Brahman, then she is the origin of this whole universe. The third aspect is that she is the energy, the Shakti, because for the universe to be created, we needed the spirit, the consciousness, and then we needed Shakti or power. So Mother Durga represents power, represents Shakti. Because of that energy, this whole universe is sustained. As we know, we are nothing but energy. Even though this hand looks solid, it is actually all neutrons, electrons, protons circulating. And actually, we are 99% space and only 1% substance. That's what they said. If this entire body, if the space is removed, it can be fit in a small little cup like that. We can fit in it. That's how much substance we have. So rest is, we are all space. So we are all energy. So that energy she is. So in that way, these are the three aspects how Mother Durga is the origin of the universe. As the mother, as the creator, as the supreme consciousness, and as energy or Shakti. So in these three ways, the universe is created from her. That's why in the one of the Lalita Sahasranama is Koti Brahmand Janani. Means not only this cosmos, millions of cosmoses have been created by her. So that's why these 1,000 names were very beneficial to study. Lata, you have a question? Yeah, go ahead. Carrie, is that answer your question? Thank you. Yeah, Lata, go ahead.
Yeah, can you elaborate on the word vibhuti and what it encompasses?
Thank you. That's a good question. Vibhuti means the glory. So what is Bhagwan's glory? All these name and forms that we see. So in the 10th chapter, Bhagwan first will tell us that I am everything. And then Arjuna will ask, how can I see you as everything? Is very difficult for me to see you as everything. Right? It is very hard for us to see he's everything everywhere. That is a very subtle concept which we have to grow into. Then Bhagwan will tell us, okay, among the mountains, I am Mount Everest, or I am Meru. Among the animals, I am the lion. Among the birds, I am the Garuda, the eagle. Among humans, I am the king. So he says, wherever you see anything glorious and beautiful, you will see a small part of me. So that is Vibhuti. Where you see anything glorious, beautiful, wonderful, I am there. You see a wonderful piece of music. Somebody has composed a nice song, or a singer, or somebody has written a nice poem, or an author, or you see a scientist who has, you know, created or come up with a new discovery or an invention. So somebody who has written a program that has changed the world. So he says, I am in that. So wherever you see anything wonderful, creative, new, that is my vibhuti, that is my glory, that is my manifestation. And that's why this is called Vibhuti Yoga, where you will see all of Bhagwan's glories.
That's why we have Chinmaya Vibhuti.
That's why Neeru said we have a Chinmaya Vibhuti near Pune in Maharashtra, where you see the glory of Pujya Gurudev, what work he did and how he did it. And it's a huge center where they have conferences and music programs. So if you go to Bombay, it's not too far. It's a few hours drive. You can go to Chinmaya Vibhuti and see that. So that's very close to Pune in Maharashtra. Thank you. Any other question? Okay, we'll do the closing prayers, then we'll ask Madhu to do the aarti. You're ready, correct? Huh? Yeah, you're ready to do the aarti. Okay, we'll do the closing prayers. Kaye navacha manasendriyeva buddhyatmanava prakrite svabhava karomi yadyat sakalam parasmai Narayanayeti samarpayami, Narayanayeti samarpayami, Sarve bhavantu sukhinaha, Sarve santu niramayaha, Sarve bhadrani pasyantu, Ma kaschid dukha bhag bhavet, Om asato ma satgamaya, Tamaso ma jyotirgamaya, Mrityorma amritam gamaya, Om shanti shanti shantihi, Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha, Harihi Om.
Arati Shri Chinmaya Sadguru Ki, Divya Rup Murati Karuna Ki, Arati Sadguru Ki, Charno Mein Unke Shanti Samaye, Sharnagat Ki Bhranti Mitaye, Paap Taap Santaap Haran Ki, Arati Shri Chinmaya Sadguru Ki, Arati Sadguru Ki, Ved Upanishad Gita Ko Gaya, Dharma Sanatan Phir Se Jagaya, Shuddh Niti Priti Shankar Ki, Arati Shri Chinmaya Sadguru Ki, आरती सतगुरु की,
सिद्ध बाड़ी की तपोभूमि में नित्य विराजे गुरु हमारे,
भक्त हृदय आनंद श्रोत की आरती श्री चिन्मय सद्गुरु की, आरती सद्गुरु की, आरती सद्गुरु की।
बोलिए श्री कृष्ण चंद्र भगवान की जय, श्री सद्गुरुनाथ महाराज की जय। एवरीबडी कैन प्लीज टेक द आरती। थैंक यू।